I have a verse of scripture found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 115, verse 2. I'd like to share this with you, and I would like very much if you'd open your Bibles to this scripture, Psalm 115, verse 2. Let's read verse 2 and 3. Now, here's my subject today. It's a question. Where is your God? Where is your God? And David wrote in Psalm 115, verse 2, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is your God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Now, this is not the first nor the only time that this question is asked in the Word of God. This question, where is your God? Job, in the midst of darkness and suffering, sorrow and trial, asked this question. He said, "Oh, that I might know where I might find Him. Oh, that I might know where I can find Him, that I might come even to His throne and plead my cause before Him." And then David, before he became king of Israel, while he was fleeing from Saul, from King Saul, hiding among the caves, wrote these words, "As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me and daily say unto me, where's your God? Where is your God?" And then Elisha, when the prophet Elijah had been taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire, standing alone on the banks of the Jordan River, took the cloak of Elijah and smote the Jordan, crying, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And here in our text, in Psalm 115, the idolaters said to David, "Our gods are where we put them. Our gods are what we make them. Our gods do what we allow them to do. They are the work of our hands. David, where is your God? Where is your God?" And David replied, "Our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." And then in Psalm 135, he says practically the same thing. He said, "Our God is in the heavens, and whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, in the earth, in the seas, and in all deep places." This is my title for the message today, "Where is your God?" Now, let me answer the question as if it were asked of me. If you were asking me, "Where is your God, preacher?" "Brother Mahan, where is your God?" Well, I reply, first of all, with David, "Our God is in the heavens." And when I say that our God is in the heavens, I am speaking of His majesty. I am speaking of His sovereignty. Isaiah said in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated on a throne, and His train filled the temple," or His glory filled the temple. Our God is in the heavens, and being in the heavens, He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. The Lord reigneth. Let all the earth rejoice. The Lord is in the heavens, and thou art upon earth. Let thy words be few. Being God of the heavens, He is sovereign in creation. He is sovereign in providence, and He is sovereign in salvation. He doeth according to His will, and whatsoever pleases Him, not only in heaven, but in the earth and in the seas, and in all deep places. Where is my God? He's in the heavens. And being in the heavens, He's an almighty, sovereign, majestic God. And then secondly, our God is in the heavens speaks of His omnipresence. Our God is everywhere. David, writing in Psalm 139, said this, "Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shalt Thy hand lead me. If I ascend into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in the grave, Thou art there. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good." Our God is omnipresent. David said, "I want to build a house for the Lord." And the Lord said, "Shall the Lord of heaven dwell in a house made with hands? Even the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him, and the earth is His footstool." Our God is in the heavens. He is omnipotent, almighty, and sovereign. Our God is in the heavens. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Our God is in the heavens. This speaks of His holiness. One attribute of Almighty God, which is prominent in every attribute of God, is His holiness. His love is a holy love. His mercy is a holy mercy. His grace is a holy grace. His justice is a holy justice. His wrath is a holy wrath. His righteousness is a holy righteousness. So the primary attribute of God, the primary characteristic of God, is His holiness. Our God is in the heavens. He is holy. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. That's what the seraphim said. The Lord is in His holy temple. And we read of His holy angels. We read of His holy word. We read of His Holy Spirit. We read of His tabernacle, which is the Holy of Holies. And when the priest went into the Holy of Holies to make the atonement once a year, he wore a mitre which said, "Holiness to the Lord." So where is my God? My God is in the heavens. And being in the heavens, He is a sovereign God, omnipotent. He hath all authority and all power over all creation. And not only is He omnipotent, but He's omniscient. Whither shall I flee from His presence? If I ascend into heaven, He's there. If I make my bed in the grave, He is there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall His hand hold me. He's omnipresent. And our God is holy. The Lord God is holy. All right, second answer to that question, where is your God? My God is in the Scriptures. In Acts 10:43, the Scripture says this, to Him, give all the prophets witness. This Bible is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the Word of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Moses wrote of me." Our God is not only in the heavens, but our God is in the Scriptures. From the opening words of Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. To the closing words of Revelation 22:21, the Scripture said there, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And all the way from that first verse, "In the beginning, God," to the last verse, "Even so come, Lord Jesus," it is His Word. His Word of His mighty works. His Word concerning His eternal glory revealed in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take the Bible and compress it until you get the heart of it and the substance of it and the essence of it, you'll have one word, Jehovah. Jehovah, Savior God, a just God and a Savior. He is what the Bible's all about. The Bible is a hymn book, H-I-M. It's about Him. In Genesis, you'll find him there as the woman's seed. In Exodus, you'll find him as the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our atonement. I have given you the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. In Numbers, he's the brazen serpent which Moses lifted up. In Deuteronomy, he's the cities of refuge. In Joshua, he's Rahab's scarlet lion. In Judges, he's the angel of the Lord. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In Job, he's my redeemer and my ransom. In the book of Psalms, he's my shepherd. In Proverbs, he's the wisdom of God. In Song of Solomon, he's the bridegroom. In the book of Isaiah, he's the substitute. In Jeremiah, he's the branch, the Lord our righteousness. In Ezekiel, he's the glory of the Lord. In Daniel, he's the beloved. In Hosea, he's the forgiving lover. In Jonah, he is the sovereign deliverer. Salvation is of the Lord. In Micah, he's Bethlehem's infant. In Habakkuk, he's the faithful one. In Haggai, he's the desire of all nations. And in Zechariah, he's the foundation stone. Where is my God? He's in the Word. It's called the Word of God. Christ is the incarnate Word. The Scriptures are the written Word and the living Word. And if you would see the Lord God in His glorious character, if you would understand His redemptive purposes, you must go to the Word of God. You must believe the Word of God because our God is in the Word. All right, the third answer I would give, if you ask me, where is your God? Where is your God? He's in the heavens, omnipotent, almighty, omnipresent, and holy. Where's your God? He's in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures, He reveals Himself. In the Scriptures, He reveals His grace and mercy and love in Christ Jesus. Where's your God? Our God was in the world. Now listen to me. John 1:1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word." In beginning, the word "the" can just be left out there. In beginning was the capital W-O-R-D, Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word of God, who was with God, who was God, by whom all things were made, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:6 says, He was in this world. He. Who we're talking about? Same one we're talking about in verse 1. The Word of God, who was God and with God and by whom all things were made. He was actually, in reality, in this world. The Word, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we actually beheld His glory. Beheld His glory. John said, "I saw Him, and I heard Him, and my hands touched Him." Who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Who is this man called Jesus? He's God. He's God. He's the God I'm talking about who is in the heavens. And He never left the heavens, and yet He came to this earth. He is the only begotten who's in the bosom of the Father. He never ceased to be God, and yet He became a man. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah said unto us, a child is born, a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever. Yes, God was actually in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. And when the disciples asked Him to show them the Father, He said, you're looking at Him. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? He is God Almighty. Where is your God? Believe it or not, walking on this earth, clothed in human flesh, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, numbered with the transgressors, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, despised and rejected of men. Where's your God? In the world. What did this Jesus Christ do, this Son of God? He came into the world. He actually robed himself in human flesh. What am I saying? I'm saying he who made the world was actually in the world. Men find this hard to believe. In fact, impossible to believe apart from divine revelation. He who made the world was in the world. He who made woman was made of a woman. He who walks upon clouds now walks upon the sand. He became actually a human being in such a way that he never ceased to be God, and yet he was a perfect man. Where's your God? In the world. Well, why did he do this? Why did he come into this world? Well, Paul said in 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of acceptation by all men, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Why did he do all this? To save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Luke 19:10, the Lord Jesus said himself, the Son of Man is come into the world to save sinners, to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, the first Adam is of the earth, earthy. And through him we fail. By him we fail. And through him sin and death passed upon all men. The second Adam, second man, is the Lord from heaven. And as we born the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And as by one man sin came into the world, and by his disobedience we were made sinners, and death came by that man, so life came by this man Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:17 says this, wherefore in all things it behooved him, or was necessary, for him to be made like unto his brethren. He had to be made just like we were, made of a woman, made under the law, born under the law, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Where is your God? He was actually on this earth. God, who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. God who made all things. God in whom everything lives and moves and has its being. God by whom all things consist, was in this world. Jesus of Nazareth is God. And why did he do this? To redeem a people from their sins. All right, where's your God? He's in the world, but he's on a cross. He's on a cross. He is in this world in human flesh, made of a woman, made under the law, that by perfect obedience in every jot and tittle of God's law, he might for every believer accomplish a perfect righteousness. Did you hear what I said? Jesus Christ came into this world not just to set an example. He didn't come here just to show us how to live and how to behave, although he is our example. But he came into this world because back before the foundation of the world, God determined to save a people. The Lord God of heaven determined to have a new earth and a new heaven wherein dwelleth righteousness, and to populate that new heaven and new earth with a people like his Son, a perfect, holy people. And he chose those people out of this fallen race. And in order to still be God, in order to honor his law and his justice, which he must do and be God, he sent his Son down here in the likeness of sinful flesh. And he lived on this earth under every requirement of God's holy law and kept it perfectly. But then he went to the cross. Isaiah said he went there as a substitute. He went there in our stead and in our place. For Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. He went to the cross as our substitute, cursed of the law, guilty before God's justice, in order that our sins and iniquities might be paid in full. He took upon himself our sins. He actually bore our sins in his body on the tree. And there the justice of God was fully satisfied in the death of the Son of God. The infinite, eternal Son of God, by one offering, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. For Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owed, sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. He blotted out our sins. He purged our sins. By himself purged our sins. He took all the judgment and wrath of God on our behalf. And our records are clear because Christ paid the debt. He died that God may be just and the justifier of all who believe in Christ. Where's your God? In the world, on the cross, and then as our scapegoat in the tomb. He bore our sins to the tree and paid the debt. And then he was laid in a tomb. He was buried. Our Lord actually died. In reality, he died. His body rested in a tomb. And then he arose. And because he lives, we live. You see, his resurrection reveals this, that all the work that he did, that he took upon himself to perform, and he did as a surety. You see, this person and work of Christ is no sudden decision. It's not something God in panic put together when man fell. But before the world was ever created, he was the Lamb slain. All of this was ordered of the Lord and purposed of the Lord and planned of the Lord before the world began. The book of life was written before the foundation of the world. Christ was our surety of an eternal covenant. His blood was the blood of an everlasting covenant. And the Lord Jesus Christ came down here fulfilling that office, prophet, priest, king, surety, redeemer, Christ, Messiah, all of that office. And he accomplished it. The last work was the death on the cross. And when he was put in a tomb and lay there 3 days, and then on the third day he arose, and by that resurrection, being raised by the Spirit of God and by the power of God, God is declaring this, that all that he took upon himself to perform and all the work he took upon himself to accomplish was complete. And not only complete, but accepted of the Father. If the Father had not accepted the Son's work, if the Father had not accepted the Son's righteousness, if the Father had not accepted the Son's satisfactory death, he'd still be in that tomb. But he arose. And his resurrection reveals that he is all that he said he is. You see, all of the religions of this world have a Messiah. The Buddhists have a Messiah called Buddha. The Confucians have a Messiah called Confucius. And Mohammedans have a Messiah called Muhammad. All of these are Messiahs, leaders of religion. But they're all in the tomb. You can visit the grave of Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad. You can visit the grave of any great religious, so-called great religious leader. But there's no need to go to the tomb of Christ. One morning some women came to that tomb and an angel met them outside and said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's a living Lord. He's a risen Lord. He's a triumphant Lord. He's a victorious Lord. His resurrection says that all he came to do is done. And his resurrection is our resurrection. He said, because I live, you shall live. You shall live." Where is our God? He was on this earth in human flesh. He was on that cross outside the walls of Jerusalem. He was in that tomb, but he's risen. Well, where is your God now, preacher? He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's what the Scripture says. He arose and he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And Almighty God, the Heavenly Father, says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." He said, "Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Paul said in Romans 8:34, "Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, who is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. My friend, God is still God. Holy, omnipotent, almighty. God is still God. He's an unchanging God. He's unchanging in His holiness, unchanging in His justice. And unfortunately, we're still people. We're still human beings. We're still men. And we're still sinners. And that God in His immaculate, infinite holiness cannot look upon us and receive us and love us in this sinful state. We need a substitute. We need an intercessor. We need a mediator. We need someone to pray for us. We need someone to enter the Holy of Holies. We need someone to put an atonement on the mercy seat. And that someone's Christ. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And all of His work is in agreement, in conformity. Those He prays for now, He prayed for on earth. Those He prayed for on earth, He prayed for in eternity past. Those He died for and for whom His blood was shed, He died for them in time, and He was their lamb slain before the world began. He's a sufficient Savior. Where's your God? He's coming again. He's coming again. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Those angels stood that day after He had ascended to heaven and said to the disciples, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go. My message today, Where is Your God, is on a cassette tape. Along with this message is one I'll be bringing next week that I'd like for you to hear. I'd like very much for you to hear it. It's called, What Are We to Believe? This message, Where is Your God and What Are We to Believe, is on one cassette tape, both sermons on one tape. Send a $2 donation. We'll mail it to you. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.